This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Ya ayyuhal mursalin sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa shafi'ina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsan ila yawmiddin rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri وحل لقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم sends a companion by the name of Walid ibn Uqba رضي الله عنه to collect zakat, to collect the money for zakat from a tribe that has recently accepted Islam, the Banu al-Mustaliq. And on his way, so as this companion is going to visit this tribe to collect the zakat which was agreed upon between their chief and with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has a thought that comes to mind. So he hasn't actually arrived there yet. He's on the way there. He's probably close to their location. And he thinks that, you know, these are my previous enemies. Because you see, before Islam, a lot of tribes and different people had enmity between themselves. And when the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came, and when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought the message of Allah to Medina, those rivalries went away. That enmity that existed for centuries dissipated, and everyone accepted one another as brothers and sisters. This was from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's going there and he's thinking, you know, these are my previous enemies. So perhaps, you know, since, you know, especially since they just accepted Islam recently, maybe they're going to harm me, maybe they're going to kill me. And according to one narration, he returns back to Medina without actually going to them to collect the zakat. Okay, so not only did he not bring the zakat money back to Medina, to the Prophet ﷺ, as he was supposed to, but he didn't even go and talk to them. And according to this one narration, he told the Prophet ﷺ that they had refused to pay zakat and that they had wanted to kill him. Now another narration, another version says that he did actually go to the tribe who were expecting the envoy of the Prophet ﷺ to come, because this was as a date that was agreed upon. So they were expecting that someone's going to come and we're going to hand over zakat. So they came out to welcome him from a distance. When they saw that he was coming, they came out to welcome him and to show respect. But he got scared and he suspected that they may have come out to kill him on account of old hostilities. So he returned instantly, without talking to them, without collecting the zakat, without meeting them, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he shared his suspicion with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they're not willing to pay zakat and that they wanted to kill him. So this is something that he feared happened inside of his mind due to his own fear, his paranoia, his, you know, past history. But he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he narrated this. Now you could expect that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was quite upset. You know, how could it be that, you know, the leader, Harith ibn Dirar, you know, who was actually the father of Juwayriyyah radiallahu anha, one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, he was a chief of the Banu Mustaliq. He had, you know, promised, he had accepted Islam and promised that his tribe will also accept Islam and they're going to give zakat, which of course is one of the five pillars and obligatory to give. So how could it be that they turned and now they refused to give zakat, and they even said that they were going to kill, you know, they threatened to kill this ambassador, this envoy that the Prophet ﷺ had sent. So understandably, he's quite upset. So he gathers a group of companions to send, to take care of this group and confront them, you know, and take care of business. Because how could someone do that? How could they, you know, go so low to do this and go against their word? Now, on the other hand, the chief, Harith ibn Dirar, and his group had left to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to find out why no one had come to collect zakat as promised. So you see what's happening here. On the one hand, Walid ibn Uqba radiallahu anhu, he turns back So he's coming back saying that, no, they don't want to give zakat, you know, they're threatening to kill me. And on the other hand, the tribe is like, what's going on? How come this person hasn't showed up? So then they go to meet the Prophet ﷺ. Now fortunately, this misunderstanding was cleared and bloodshed was averted. Alhamdulillah. So nothing came out of it. It was very close. It was very close that this group of companions that the Prophet ﷺ had sent would have reached there or would have met them along the way with the understanding that they had refused to give zakat and that they were willing, you know, they wanted to, that they were threatening to kill the emissary of the Prophet ﷺ. And it could have been very bad, right? Based on this falsehood, based on this misunderstanding. And it was at this point that the scholars of Quran of Tafsir say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse in Surah Al-Hujurat. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَإٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. O you who believe, if a sinful person brings you a report, brings you news, verify its correctness. فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Verify its correctness, lest you should harm a people out of ignorance and then become remorseful on what you did. Right? The message is very clear, that when you get news, make sure, and this is the reason for the revelation of this verse, but it applies to everyone, that when you get news, O believers, when you get news, verify its authenticity, verify its accuracy, lest you end up acting upon that news, thinking that it is true, but it turns out to be false, and you end up causing harm to people, and then you regret it, and then you feel bad, but the harm is already done, right? In this case, alhamdulillah, the harm was not done. Now this companion is referred to as a sinful person, because that particular action was incorrect, it was sinful, to make this assumption, and to share this with the Prophet ﷺ, even though it had not occurred, it was just perceived, right? And this tells us that the companions, the Sahaba, were not perfect. Right. They made mistakes. They were human. They made mistakes. But they repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After they made the mistake, because they're not prophets and they're not protected from sin. So yes, of course they made mistakes and they committed sins. But the key is that they turned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they were remorseful. They did tawbah. They repented. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them all. Radiyallahu anhum. Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Right? That's what we say. So this is the case for this Sahabi who was in the company of the Prophet ﷺ, right? So imagine, what about the news and the information that we get from people today, you know, who are openly sinful, you know, or openly disbelieving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or who we don't even know who they are, right? There's complete void in the chain of narration of the news, of the video that you're seeing on TikTok, that reel that you're watching, right? That short that someone has uploaded. Right? What's the chain of narration? What's the authenticity of it? Who made it? Where did they make it? What images, you know, what voices, what audio is part of that? How has it been composed? When it was recorded? We don't know. Right? And in many cases, we don't know. The Prophet ﷺ said, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَن يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. It is enough for a person, it is enough lying for a man to speak of everything that he hears. It is enough to consider a person a liar if they simply speak of everything that they have heard, meaning without checking. Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, he says with regards to this hadith, that usually a person hears truth and lies. So if he speaks of everything that he hears, he is lying by telling of things that did not happen, and lying by speaking of something other than the way it happened. And he does not have to do that deliberately. He does not have to do that deliberately in order to be regarded as telling lies. It does not have to be intentional. Right? Simply because you are passing on information, simply because you are resharing, reposting, retweeting something, forwarding on WhatsApp, something that you have heard and you don't know, or you have seen and you don't know if it's true or not. Right? Even if it's not unintentional, even then, even if it is unintentional, meaning even if it is not intentional, a person will still be regarded as telling lies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, beware of temptation or beware of fitna, for a word, a single word at the time of fitna could be as devastating as the sword. A single word can be as devastating, can be as harmful as harm that comes from physical pain and injury inflicted by the sword. So you see, when the stakes are high, my brothers and sisters, my friends, one misunderstanding, one incorrect word could be devastating. Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi said, the believer reserves judgment until the matter is proven. A believer reserves judgment until the matter is proven. Now, just a couple of days ago, a high-level Canadian politician found himself and is finding himself in trouble for rushing to judgment with regards to that fiery crash on the right outside the Rainbow Bridge in Niagara Falls, referring to it as a terrorist attack based on media reports. Right? In fact, authorities have now discovered that it was a tragic accident. It was not an attack that everyone was thinking that it might be. And now he's having to deal with the consequences of rushing to judgment. We see and we hear many things nowadays. And it's important that we do not act because of it until we are sure that it is true. Okay, you can certainly take mental note of it. You can certainly prepare for different outcomes if it turns out to be true, if you know you're in a position where you need to do that. But don't assume that it is true until confirmed to be true, or most likely to be true. During times of high tensions and conflicts, misinformation is rampant. It is known, it is established that propaganda is a tool of war, used by everyone, used by all sides. So be careful with the news, especially before you act, especially before you start doing something about it. Lest you should end up harming a people out of ignorance, and تُصِيبُ قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ, and then you become remorseful on what you did, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Surah Al-Hujurat. Secondly, my brothers and sisters, and very quickly, when speaking for justice and advocating, we must differentiate between those who are actively involved in the oppression and the evil, and those who may have gotten caught up in it or who may be misinformed. There's a difference between the two. There's a difference between a person who is actively involved in perpetuating falsehoods. Or someone who is actively involved in committing oppression or causing harm, spreading evil on purpose, knowing that it's wrong, knowing that it is evil, knowing everything and willfully doing that. There's a difference between that person and the person who has got caught up, who's not directly involved, who's a bit of a third party, a person who's an outsider, a stranger to this whole situation. And they have developed misunderstandings or they are misinformed. Let us know that the vast majority of people that we deal with, who may even come across as being unsupportive, are likely misinformed. Most of the people that we deal with here are probably from the second category. Standing up for justice and advocating for the oppressed is from amongst the missions of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was part of their mission, to establish justice. Therefore, it is critical that we use the divinely ordained prophetic method of da'wah. It is important that when we are advocating for justice and for the truth, that we use the divinely ordained method of prophetic da'wah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, as we have discussed before, ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. Invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom. First with wisdom and kind advice. And only debate with them in the best manner. That's the third thing. It's not the first thing. First thing is invite with wisdom, with kind advice. There's levels of escalation. And then if you need to debate, you do it in the best manner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Good and evil cannot be equal. So respond to evil with that which is best. وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet ﷺ, tell my believing servants to only say what is best. To only say that which is best. Because the objective is not just to deliver the message. The objective is not just to say it for the sake of saying it. But rather the objective is to deliver the message convincingly, so that it wins people over by touching their hearts. It's, the point is not just to say something. Otherwise, we'll be going in the streets, we say La ilaha illallah, say La ilaha illallah, come, worship Allah. But is it going to be effective da'wah? Do you think people are actually going to come and you know, are going to get interested in Islam? No, they're going to think they're a bunch of fools. Right? That's not the way, that's not what the Prophet ﷺ did. That's not what the companions did. Right? So you have to understand, the point is not just proclaiming the message, it's not just to speak the truth, but rather to speak the truth in a way that is convincing, that wins people over by touching their hearts. The Prophet has an important mission of da'wah. So for his final message, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was perfect in character. Why? So that the message is not diluted or tainted with bad character of the messenger. Because if the messenger has bad character, has bad behavior, then it affects the message itself. The message becomes diluted, it becomes tainted, because the one who is bringing it is not doing it properly in the good way. Similarly, my brothers and sisters, my friends, let us be extra careful and mindful that we maintain the best character when advocating and signing up for issues that are close to our hearts, that are important to us, like Palestine. Saying things politely first usually is more effective in many cases. Usually you don't need to escalate. If you actually say it nicely first, convincingly, you can still be firm. But if you're polite and you're kind, that in many cases will be effective in and of itself. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna rifqa la yakunu fi shay'in illa zana, wa la yunza'u min shay'in illa shana." That verily gentleness is not found in anything, except that it beautifies it. It is not removed from anything, except that it disgraces it. Right. So start off gently, then escalate gradually, as necessary. Don't go from 0 to 100. Huh? Don't speed directly from 0. You have an issue, it's 0, and then all of a sudden you go to 100. Right? Don't do that, because it's likely going to cause more harm. Right? Speak privately before going public. If it's something between two individuals, another person, message them privately first. Right? Try to reach out to them first. Talk to them first. Email them first. Give people a chance to understand and correct their approach first. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make these difficult times easy for the entire ummah, especially for our brothers and sisters in Palestine and Gaza. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve the grief and the pain of this ummah and to bless this world with peace. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us a source of promoting justice, peace, and understanding to all. Ameen. Wa akhira da'wana alhamdulillah.